cover our church, the problems we've been going through. Thank you, Jesus, that he's willing to do that with his presence today. What a great day it is today to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Such an opportunity to be here today. We thank you. We pray that Jesus Christ to get all the honor today, because he's the one that's worthy of what he's done for us and what he's doing for us. Hebrews chapter 5, 11 through 14. And I already told you my title, Are You a Growing Christian? In my experience the last 2 weeks, being in the mission field, seeing people give everything to the Lord, get up on a Monday morning and work 7 days a week and never get anything except the work that they do for the Lord, and how I do so little. I spend a lot of my time during the week doing things that I want to do. I spend a lot of times of doing what I think I need to do. I spend very little time really what I should be doing for the Lord. When I see other people that works all day long and never worry about income except what little bit they need to live off of and giving everything they have to the Lord, to helping some other people, to help someone else to come to the knowledge and Savior of Jesus Christ and know him. It makes you want to challenge yourself, and it did me. Am I a growing Christian? If not, how can I be a growing Christian? I was reading where these wasps, you know, you ever got stung by a wasp? Well, I was reading, and a lot of times I saw when these wasps first hatch out of their nest, they are larger then than they are when they're full grown. They're larger when they first hatch out than they are when they're full grown. I believe a lot of Christians are like that also. When you first get saved, man, I tell you, you're on fire. You go to church regular. I mean, tell you, you start reading the Bible, praying, listen to gospel music. You just seem like you just can't get enough of the Lord. What a great time it is when we first get saved. Then I'm afraid too many times we shrink instead of grow, like the wasp. But the book of Hebrews, it tells us to let us go on in Jesus Christ. If you was here Wednesday night, the theme was for my sermon Wednesday night that in Christ Jesus, you have everything. Self-contained is riding on the ship of life. It's self-contained. You don't need anything. Book of Hebrews, theme is let us go on. Go on into perfection, which really means maturity. Examine yourself today. If you're saved, we need to go on in our Christian life. A man stood up in a testimony service and he said, 20 years ago, God filled my cup up to the brim and they hadn't a drop went out and I hadn't a drop went in. And a little boy says, he must have his cup full of wiggletails. And that may be the truth because it's stagnation. Many times, even older Christians, no matter what position you're in the church, or you get stagnated sometimes. But we are commanded by the Lord to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you may be coming regular. You may have a position, no matter what position, how many times you come, you still need to examine yourself and ask yourself, are you a growing Christian? Are you a better Christian today than you was yesterday? Are you a better Christian this year than you was last year? Are you a growing Christian? When we cease to be better, we cease to be good. God has commanded us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we know that Christians, whenever they have left the things of God and the people of God, we know they're no longer growing. They're stagnated. They don't come. They don't serve. They don't worship. They're stagnated. If they are saved, they backslidden on the Lord no matter who they are. But sometimes, you know, we can come regular. And even behind the pulpit and Sunday school teachers, no matter what position that you are in the church and how many times you come, we can get stagnated and we don't grow. We need to examine ourselves and see what it takes to grow. As I read the verse of scriptures, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and on, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the words of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And then it says in chapter 6, verse 1, "Therefore," saying all this, he says, now therefore, talking to us, having the principles of the oracle of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection, maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead work and a faith towards God. Let us go on. Father, let us pray here this hour. Father, that beautiful song they just sung, "Lord, cover me." Father, I think that should be the prayer of every person in here. Father, cover us with your Holy Spirit. Father, when we hurting, cover us. Father, when we stray, cover us. Father, even when we're not growing as we should, cover us. Father, when we disobedient, cover us. Father, we just pray for the covering, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ this hour, and how that you might help us to understand, to review our life by the Word of God and see if everyone here in this building today is really growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that you have commanded every one of us is saved to be growing, to go on in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we stop along the way. Instead of going on, we just kind of take our life and have it stagnated by the things of this world. Help each and every one of us today to understand that, Lord, we are marching forward and we need to be going on. So I pray that you might help us to understand, help us to go on, even myself today, to see myself as I'm not growing like I should be growing. Help us, everyone, oh God, this day. Because, Father, we need help from you. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to give you the mandates of maturity today to examine my life and see what I really needed. Hebrews chapter 6 says, therefore. So it's a command for us to grow. Let us continue now making this process into maturity to grow on every one of us as we read and study the Word of God for us to go on. Verse 14, it says a full age, the same word for us to go on. But there's problems in our churches across America, and I wonder if there's a problem in our churches today, and that is the problem of immaturity. The problem of immaturity in our churches today. I'd like to give you some signs now as we look upon our own life. Are we really immature in the Lord? These are the signs to look for as I examine my own life. You see, the Lord always preaches their sermons to me and Brother Marshall before it ever preaches it to you, to examine my life and see if there are signs of immaturity in my life. You see, a pastor must continuously grow. If I don't grow, the church will not grow. We have to continue to grow. You never reach the point where you stop growing. If you do, you're going backwards and decay sets in. And that's for every class of people in the church if you're saved, no matter who you are. Immaturity, the signs now of immaturity. What is the signs of immaturity to be? The first thing that we know, it says in verse 11, it is the dullness. The Bible describes me. The Bible describes you. Sometimes people don't like what I say from the pulpit. Well, I'm sorry, you'll have to apologize to God. And I'm going to preach the Word of God, and it hurts me. It hurts me. And I tell you, it'll hurt you sometimes, but it's the mirror of the Word of God. If we seek preaching the Word of God, we'll seek to be a church of the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, it hurts people. It hurts our toes. It hurts our hearts. But it says there in verse 11, he says, I got a lot of things I like to tell you. And I tell you, I'm always talking to myself. I'm not talking to the church. This Word of God is talking to me, and it's talking to you. And he says, I would like to tell you so many more things about Jesus Christ and how to make your life so much better in your family life. I have so many wonderful, wonderful things to tell you and some deep things. But the problem is, it's not my voice, it's your ears. It's your ears. It says dull of hearing. That means lazy ears. Lazy ears. And the lazy ears comes with an attitude of don't caring attitude towards the things of God. We can sit here every Sunday and Sunday night, Sunday morning and Wednesday and still have this same attitude. Now, we know the people that won't come to church has this attitude. They just don't care about the things of God. We know where they stand in God at. They just don't care. But the people that comes, and how I don't really like to preach a sermon like this. I believe I'm preaching to the best congregation in the world. I really do. I love Pleasant Hill. I'm going to tell you, great people. But sometimes we have a tendency to drift. We have a tendency not to do what God's called us to do. And we have these lazy ears. And sometimes, you see, we have lazy ears towards Sunday school. And you see, with the don't attitude towards Sunday school, and our Sunday school's growing, and it ought to be growing even more if we just get some people more ready for Sunday school. And Wednesday night, what's the problem on Wednesday night? I guess we got probably the greatest percent on Wednesday night of any Baptist church I know of. But you see, we still got room for improvement, have we not? They still, young mothers and fathers, swear they will not bring their kids to the house of God. I will not bring my kids to the house of God. You see, they have dull ears, slow of hearing, the attitude, you know, of the things of God, of the preaching, and also of the praying, of our prayer wheel. We have a lot of prayer warriors, and I thank this church for the prayer warrior. We have a great number on Wednesday night that lifts people up. You need to be here and help out and lift people and be concerned about other people on Wednesday night to lift them up and be sure your kids and your grandkids in the house of the Lord. Dullness, short attention span. You see, preaching, I can go over a little bit and people start squirming in their seats. You see, I can see sometimes, me and Brother Marshall sometimes, we can look out and see. Once in a while somebody will come in and you can't see it, but me and Brother Marshall can. And you see, and they'll hang a sign around the neck and it says, please don't disturb. I can tell them, I can spot them. You can't see them, but I can see them. Don't bother me. You got 30 minutes to do what you want to do, but don't bother me. You see, we have dull of hearing, and you know what? We can all be in that same position now. I tell you, don't never point your finger at anybody else, because you see, if it weren't for the grace of God, you'd be sitting in that person's seat too, and you might have that same sign next week around your head, don't bother me. So we need to be praying for one another. But the signs there is, to start with now, as we see this, the sign is dullness. But the next thing he says, the sign of immaturity, is dependency. In verse 12 it says, for when you have time, you ought to be teachers. But now you need somebody to teach you again of the ABCs when you ought to be teachers. When you ought to be teaching English, you know, you just have to be teaching ABCs. But you know what? You need to be teachers. When time that you ought to be teachers. Now the devil, he's really responsible for all this. You need to be very careful because he'll keep you from helping others. Did you know what? That's what the Christian life is all about, is others. I got a good view of this when I went to the mission field. It's about others. Everybody is doing something for other people, not themselves. And they don't care who gets the glory, long as Jesus Christ gets the glory. They're not worried about, well, they didn't mention me, and look what I've done here, and I've done this and that. They don't worry about that. They want Jesus to get the glory. And it's all about helping other people. Here this day, I'm going to ask you, are you growing that you're willing to help someone else? Who have you helped lately? That's the idea, the dependency that we have this day. The devil don't want us to help other people because if he can keep us immature and dependent ourselves, we can't help other people. An immature person do not know how to share, know how to help other people. Is there someone that you're really discipling this day? Are there somebody that you're working with that you need to be helping and leading them closer and closer to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? And then the third thing is a sign there of immaturity is diet. What diet are you on? Verse 12, and are come such as having need of milk and not strong meat. Still babies is what it says. And verse 13, again, as I've already read, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Milk, we know, is pre-digested food. We know what milk is. It's pre-digested food. Well, myself and Brother Marshall, you know what I'm doing right now? I'm really giving you a little source of pre-digested food. Because what we do, we go to our study, we study, we pray, we think, we weep, we write, we consider, we agonize, we illustrate, we apply, we jest, we do all these things, and then we stir it up and we give it to you. Well, it's pre-digested food in a way. It's not milk, but it's pre-digested food. And what I'm saying is, you need to be here to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But if all you ever hear is a sermon and you go out on Sunday morning and you don't open your Bible, you don't come anywhere any other time, and all you hear is a pre-digested food that I'm giving you right now, you will still be a baby Christian. I love to try to feed people. I love to preach the Word of God more so than I ever have before. But it is a pre-digested food to you. You must read the Bible for yourself. Sunday school is a great time. In fact, a lot of times you get more food at Sunday school time than you can at preaching time. You got time to say, hold it, I want to ask you something. And sometimes we don't do that to disturb the service. But you got to keep on yourself. It's not enough to come to church and have this pre-digested food given unto you. We give you maybe milk, as we would say, the sermons. But you need something else. The diet that you're on, it needs to be in the Word of God. I mean, you need to study it. You need to pray. You need quiet time. Every morning is my quiet time. Joyce goes in one room, me the other. We don't fuss while we're in different rooms. And we get the Word of God. May not be 5 minutes, might be 30 minutes. Usually I stay for several hours, but still, you need that. Every one of us needs that. But then you see, there's another sign of immaturity is discernment. Does the Bible really describe you? Is it so far as the Bible describing you? Is it a mirror of the Word of God? Verse 14 says, strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, little babies don't have much discernment. Y'all know that? Put a little baby down on the floor, let them crawl around, and you know what they'll do? They'll pick up a bug. Will they not? They'll pick up an old cigarette butt if they find one laid around. Praise God, maybe they don't. But I'm going to tell you one thing. They don't care. They'll put anything in their mouth. They don't have no discernment. But now whenever Christians, ought to be Christians growing up, and you hear some of them say, well, there's a Jehovah's Witness I talked to the other day, and I tell you, I looked at their little tear, and there's some pretty good stuff in that little tear. Babies. And then this Mormons. These Mormons, Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. I even heard someone tell me that, you know, when Romney was running, I wish he'd have got the election, but he didn't. But then when Romney was running, he believes in Jesus Christ. He believes he's in the Church of the Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. That person was a Christian, an old Christian, been saved for a long time, but still a babe when it comes to the time concerning things. Mormons, not saved. Jehovah's Witness, not saved. Well, they believe in God. Jesus Christ says, you believe in God, also believe in me. That separates it right there. They'll read these things and they say, man, I tell you, that's something. They believe in God. And then what really gets me, and we ride, every time we go to Mexico, we go by Houston. And we go to this man's great church. His name is Osteen. Big Coliseum. Woo! I don't know where I saw her say anything more or not. Discernment, my goodness alive, how could anybody say be listening to this man? Because he's very, very intelligent. And he presents a half-truth. When a half-truth presents for the whole truth, it becomes a whole lie. And I tell you, the devil can do more damage with a half-truth than he can with a whole lie. I won't say anything more about him. You ought to know him by now. Discernment. That's what it says here, discernment. That is the mandate of maturity and the signs of immaturity. But as we need to go on now, the mark there of maturity, there's a mark that goes on with it. Let us go on, every one of us today, or you say we need to go on in Jesus Christ. There's so much more we need to go on in Jesus Christ. Am I a mature Christian? Ask yourself this question. Am I really a mature Christian this morning? I've been saved for 50 years. Am I a mature Christian? I've been saved for 10 years. Am I a mature Christian? Whatever the age of time has been, are you a mature Christian? Verse 6, it says again, I've read this, therefore leaving now these old principles of the doctrine of Christ, and let us go on into perfection, not laying the foundation of repentance of dead works, and of faith towards God. Let us go on in Jesus Christ. Mature Christian. You know what a mature Christian is? Is Christ-like. Like Jesus Christ. The Bible shows us clearly what maturity is. Colossians 1 and 28 it says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That means mature in Christ Jesus. Perfect, it don't mean sinless, it means mature. Whenever you go and you see a rose, and that rose that you see, man, I'm going to tell you that rose is in full bloom, and I'm going to tell you it's perfect. You don't say that rose is sinless. You say that rose is mature. A mature rose, completely mature, Christ-like. The goal for Paul is to pray for the people in Ephesians 4 and verse 13. It also says, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come, we all want to come together and be mature. It's not good enough that one of us is mature. We all need to be mature together in Christ Jesus. That's what makes a church. That's why people don't realize it's not coming to church. We all need to grow and be mature together. And without being together, we'll never mature unless we come together in the name of Jesus Christ. It says, till we all come in the unity of faith. Paul, you say we need to have a test here, and our test is, you know, are we really doing that? Do you know what the test is for me? And the test is for you, am I growing, am I a mature Christian? Am I coming more like Jesus Christ? That's the test. If I'm a mature person, if I'm growing, am I more like Jesus Christ? But I tell you something else. Pleasant Hill, I love this church, but I'm going to tell you the test of Pleasant Hill is not how big our Sunday school is. It's not how much money we have in the bank. It's not how many people we have come on Sunday morning. The test for this church is this church becoming more like Jesus Christ will have it to be. That's the test of this church and a test of every one of us today. Now, I tell you what, there's a lot of churches that don't want to hear this. A lot of congregation won't sit and listen to this because they think they're pretty good old boys and girls. But God says, you got a long ways to go. The test, are you a really growing church? And the test of your Sunday school, is your Sunday school growing? I'm not just talking about in numbers it ought to be, but is it growing to be like Jesus Christ? Are you considering other people? Do you talk about other people? Do you help other people all the time? It's not the budget, it's not the building, it's not the numbers. It's all about being like Jesus Christ to Pleasant Hill and every other church that named the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul, that I may present every man mature in Jesus Christ. Mature. Maturity is not a 100-yard dash. I'm going to tell you, it's a marathon. We got to keep on running it. Now, see, you can be spiritual healthy and not be mature. You can be spiritual healthy and not be mature. A 5-year-old boy can be perfectly healthy and happy, but he's a 5-year-old boy, and I'm going to tell you, he's not a mature man yet. That's what it means. He's not a man yet. Go on into maturity. 1 John 2:12-13 also tells us, I write unto you little children because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sakes. I write unto you fathers because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto young men because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you little children because you have known the Father. He gives us three stages, 1 John does. He gives us three stages. And then on three stages, a child stage, you see, and there's a young man stage, a young person stage, and then there's a father stage. The little children stage, because you have been forgiven of your sins. And that's a new Christian. That's the first thing. That's babies. We all had to go through that being born again stage, did we not? Every person in here began as a baby in Christ Jesus. Grow. You see, grow. Now, I had three sons, and I remember when every one of them started calling me Dada. Y'all got kids? Y'all remember when they start calling you Dada? That's so sweet. 40 years later now, if they call me Dada, I'm going to swat them. You see, you got to grow. Amen? That's what it's talking about. We got to grow. How wonderful it is to grow. That's the young person. As you're saved, you need to grow. Wonderful it is to have a child. Wonderful it is to be born again. How wonderful, wonderful it is to be born again. But then you need to grow. And the last part of verse 14, as I've already read, I write it to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. I'm going to tell you, here's a bunch of workers now. They're workers and they're warriors. Man, people get the growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see young people, they begin to grow. He says, you know what? As you work, man, you got different jobs in the church. Look at the jobs we got in the church. You know what? It takes a lot of work to make this possible this morning. You might not understand, but it takes a lot of work to make this possible this morning. This service just didn't happen by itself. There's people had to do this and had to do that. We got people up there that's making sure the sound system works. We got people back there in the back in the nursery. I'm telling you, we got people that's taking care of the kids on the other side. We got the prayers been offered up already at the Sunday school time. There's a lot of things that makes this happen. They got workers in the church. And we need more workers in the church. People say, hey, let me do, what job can I do? And we got plenty of jobs for everybody. The young man stage, a young person stage. Today. Now, but the workers also, we find out that we go on now, there's a father stage. Verse 13, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. Fathers, did you know you need to recognize our senior adults and our senior citizens? You need to recognize your father because you know what? As you become older, fathers, they have wisdom. And I tell you, a lot of churches is kicking all the old people out, and they say, oh, we got to have these young people. Well, we got to have young people if your church is going to grow. But don't kick out the old people because you want the young people. I mean, don't put all the emphasis on the young people. I'm going to tell you, there ought to be a place in church for everybody. Don't put all your money and all your eggs in one place. Don't kick out your old people because there's wisdom. Fathers has wisdom. Fathers have knowledge. Our adults, they have knowledge. They have understanding. But why do you call a man father? Why do they call him father here? Because he is a reproducer. He's a reproducer. Have you grown to that stage in your life that you are a father stage? This is a father stage. Not talking to you about men, but about women also. It's talking about mature Christians. Grow to the father stage because you are a reproducer of life. Because you see, that's what fathers do. But also, you see, it teaches spiritual leadership and spiritual guidance, and you lead someone else into knowing Jesus Christ. How many people have you really fathered into the spiritual kingdom of God? How many people have you led to the Lord in Jesus Christ? You see, they father sin. I tell you, I've been blessed more than most any people have been blessed in my life because I've been blessed to be at a church at Pleasant Hill when I was young and I first got saved. And I had a bunch of people, some of them still here this hour, some of them been on with the Lord. But you know what? They took me in. And I had spiritual fathers, I had spiritual mothers, I had spiritual grandfathers and grandmothers, I had spiritual brothers and sisters, and that's what they done for me. They helped me. I didn't know a thing in the world. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. I didn't know nothing about going to church. I was just ignorant in all this, and I admit it this day. I didn't know what in the world. When I joined this church, I didn't know what in the world they'd done on Wednesday night. They called it prayer meeting. Scare me to death. I ain't going. I don't know what they do, but I ain't going. I ain't going to prayer meeting. But it dawned on me, I'm a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. And if those members go to Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, go to Wednesday night, I'm a member. seemed like I ought to go to Wednesday night. Well, I went to Wednesday night, and I loved it. But they started as old Sunday school. Sunday school ain't nothing in the world but for women and kids. And I ain't going to Sunday school. Miss Bertha Lee was my teacher. She knew how I felt about it. And I didn't like it. She had the nerve one day to ask me to teach one Sunday. I've been going to Sunday school ever since. They had WMU, and I wanted to go to that, but they wouldn't let me. I'm telling you, you got brothers and sisters, daddies and mothers here at this church will help you. And we got one of the best congregations of people that I've ever saw in my life. I'm telling you, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. John, in his writings of 1 John, he was a church father. He wrote the Gospel, 1, 2, 3, John, Revelation. Sweet old John. But you see, even the disciple of Jesus Christ that walked and saw the Lord walking on this earth and doing the miracles, did you know even old John, he had to change. He wasn't always a sweet John. I'm going to tell you what, I haven't been always a sweet IB. Ain't that right, George? I shouldn't ask that, had I? But anyway, you know, old John, you know what? He had a very violent disposition. He had a hair trigger attitude. You read the Bible. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 17, he's called the Son of Thunder. He was selfish. Mark chapter 10 and 37, let me read it to you. And he said unto him, grant us, that's him and his brother, let us maybe set one on the right hand, one on the left hand, and if you're by your side when you go to glory. Man, he wanted the best seats in the kingdom. But he is also prejudiced. When Jesus Christ was at Samaria, you know, they hated the Jews. They hated Jesus Christ. And Luke chapter 9, 54 and 55 said, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, and like Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them, and he said, you know not what manner of spirit you have. Boy, they was fire. Let's burn them up. Boy, I tell you, I've had that same attitude. You sorry thing. I tell you, Lord, come down and smite you. Have you not? John had that. You know, the thunder asunder. Luke 9 also said, you know, whenever he sent them out to heal the people. And then he says, you know, in Luke chapter 9, he says, John said, we saw one casting out the demons in the name, and he was not with us. We need to rebuke him. See, what John was saying, he's not of our denomination. Let's get him. A lot of people doing things for the Lord, not of our denomination. Let's rebuke them. You see, a lot of times, you know what Christians do? We shoot down our own soldiers. That's what John was saying. John had to grow. You had to grow. I have to grow. But after growing, he was no longer violent. Revelation, it says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he was worshiping. He was not prejudiced. That disciple that said, whom Jesus loved. Acts chapter 8, 14 and 15. And this is what he said. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that the Samaritan, the same bunch he wanted to zap, had heard that the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. When they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. No longer did he want to zap them, he wanted to pray for them. You see, there's a lot of people in my life I kind of dislike that want to be around. Have you ever tried to pray for that person? I tell you, Lord will change you when you start praying for that person. John was full of love. John, he said, well, let's have fellowship one with other. What changed, John? The same thing that's going to change me and you. The same thing changed John is going to change me and you. John grew in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what stage are you in? What stage are you in? A baby stage, a young man stage, a father stage, or are you in a backslidden stage? And there are a lot of Christians today is in backslidden stage. But see, we have the meaning of this maturity. There's four basic things that we need. There's a requirement. First thing, if you want to grow. First thing, if you want to grow. And that is life. See, because you can't grow without life. There's a person here this day, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ. You know what? You cannot grow in Jesus Christ till you have life. You must have life. You see, there's a problem. There's a lot of people who try to grow and then get born. And then there's a lot of people that's born and then don't never grow. You see, there's both ways. But you see, today we need to grow. You can take an old dead stick, you can water it, you can put sunlight on it, fertilize on it every day, and I'm going to tell you what, it'll rot because it's nothing in the world but a dead stick. There's a lot of dead stick people. There's a lot of dead stick members of Baptist churches. But I was talking here to the ones that are saved. Are you growing? You need life. You need time. It takes time to grow. And sometimes when you have kids and grandkids, they grow faster than what you want them to do. They grow up so fast, but it takes time for you to grow in the Christian life. It takes time to be holy. It takes nourishment. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire to send milk of the word of God that you may grow therein. You see, we need milk. And then we need meditation on that milk to digest the growth of it, the meat that we have. Do we digest? That's why I said digest it. George Mueller from Bristol, England, back in the war days, God put on his heart that he needed to establish an orphan and feed an orphanage. He had no support. He done it by prayer. Nothing by prayer. He said, I'd read the Bible and I'd sit there hours and hours and just meditate on the Word of God, digesting the Word of God. Until you see his need was met, food for the soul. Well, I met a woman that I helped in the orphanage down in Mexico. Her name is Miss Elma. She started an orphanage on the other side of the border of Mexico whenever the kids are abandoned by their parents. And she now has about 118 kids. She started off with 4 or 5. She got 118 kids. No help whatsoever from any government, any source, or anything. She's another George Mueller, just to meet someone like that. It takes over $1,000 a month just for her light bill. She said, we have lights when we have the bills paid. Can you imagine get up to feed that bunch breakfast of a morning and there's no support whatsoever except what God hands from his hand to their mouth? If people don't hear about it, people don't respond to it, the kids goes hungry. But she feeds those kids because she prays and she prays and she prays. We give them a little bit of stuff while I was down there, and we helped them a little bit for a day or two. But you see, she prays. No support from the city. Now, the city said that they would take the kids and support them, but she couldn't teach them about Jesus Christ. It is a Christian place. She had the drug lords. She has a building there in a little town there, and it's a good place in that building. And the drug lord said they'd give her over $200,000. They would buy it. She could still stay there if they want to use it for their drug cartel. She said, I won't take it. Can you imagine what it would be that those kids for $200,000 if she would not take it? She quit letting them go to the school of the city because there's so much human trafficking of kidnapping little girls into prostitution that she stopped all her kids from going to the public school because there was nobody to watch out for them, and she's teaching them there at the place herself. And all she has is prayer. She reads the Bible and she meditates on the Word of God, and she believes that God will take care of them. And I'm going to tell you that the same thing in your life and my life, we go through problems all the time. But I'm going to tell you, we can do the same thing that she's doing. We can, and he done. We can read the Word of God and we can meditate. And I tell you, a lot of the problems we're going through, I'm going to tell you what, it'll disappear in your life. That God is still the God today and still strong enough to do everything that we need done. And she depends on him. It's amazing to be around people that depends on God. And I look at my life and I said, are you growing? I tell you what, I'm not growing like I ought to be growing. I don't have the prayer of faith to grow as she does. And others that I've met. How about you? How about you today? And not only that, you see, we need to exercise our faith. Verse 14, it says, exercise our faith. That word exercise, we'll get our word from gymnastics, the exercise. Let us go on. I'm going to tell you, the Bible is a mirror that we look into. And I tell you, it's a test. And I feel a lot of tests in my life. And I tell you what, I feel some tests of, am I growing as I should be growing? I don't know about you, but the Word of God, it really convicted me. I'm not really growing like I should be growing. Yeah, but you've been saved a long time. It don't make no difference how long you've been saved. Are you growing? Don't be like a wasp. Be bigger now when you first get saved than you was years later. Are you growing? As we come with a song of invitation this hour, thank you. I appreciate you and I love you, and we just pray for each other till we all come into the unity and grow together. Are we really growing? Thank you, Jesus. Today, are we really growing? Don't miss a service, but don't miss reading your Bible either. Don't miss a service. Come if you can.
Hey!
Give Jesus a hand.